firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you?
It's a great day to study the Bible. Thanks for joining us on Through the Bible as our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, picks up our study of Jeremiah in verse 7 of chapter 39. Dr. McGee has a lot of really good insight to share with us today, so let's pray and get started right away. Heavenly Father, thank you for everyone who has gathered here today to study your word. We thank you that regardless of where we live, that we share the same heart. We all want to know you better. So open the eyes of our hearts so that we may discover wonderful things in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Now we come today to chapter 40 in the book of Jeremiah, but actually we had not quite finished chapter 39. We saw the fall of Jerusalem and actually how horrible it was. It says, verse 7, moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes, bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon. And the Chaldeans burned the king's house and the houses of the people with fire and break down the walls of Jerusalem. And that was a very terrible thing. It revealed, as Jeremiah explains it later on, over in the 42nd chapter, he says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as mine anger and my fury hath been poured forth upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And God says that what happened was he was revealing his anger and revealing his judgment on this city when it was destroyed. Now, I think that I'd like to conclude that today by reading to you a statement from another, and this is something that's very pertinent for this hour in which we're living. The thing that we said is all important is to understand that God judges, and that the one who judges is a God of love. He's loved you with an everlasting love, and that makes the judgment that much worse because of the fact that he's not a tyrant, and he has to do it. He has to do it in love. And the one who pronounced that harsh judgment over Jerusalem is the one who wept over Jerusalem and said, how many times would I have gathered together your little ones like a mother hen gathers her little chicks, but you would not. Now, I'd like to quote this because we have seen that the judgment of God and the anger of God is revealed in nature, and it's revealed in history, it's revealed in the Old Testament, and it's revealed in the New Testament. Now, I'm reading a quotation from Dr. G. Campbell Morgan. Will you listen very carefully? Prisons are in the interest of the free. Hell is the safeguard of heaven. A state that cannot punish crime is doomed, and a God who tolerates evil is not good. Deny me my biblical revelation of the anger of God, and I'm insecure in the universe. But reveal to me this throne established, occupied by one whose heart is full of tenderness, whose bowels yearn with love, then am I assured that he will not tolerate that which blights and blasts and damns, but will destroy it and all its instruments in the interest of that which is high and noble and pure. And that's a tremendous statement, and we can say thank God that he destroyed Jerusalem when he did. It revealed that he loved them, my friend, because had he been a disinterested party, he would have let them sunk lower and lower down into the depths of hell. But God won't do that. Therefore, we can look around us today, and we are seeing a nation departing farther and farther from God. And we have discovered that when crime is not dealt with and when criminals are not punished, that we curb the liberty of folk. I must say, because there are judges today that have not handed down the sentence they should against criminals, I'd have to be careful about walking the streets as you do. I have to be careful about where I go. I have had to put more protection about my house and my neighbors. They live in fear also, and several of them have had their homes broken into. I say to you today that our liberty has been curbed, and we're talking today about freedom and liberty, and I say let's enforce the law so we can all have liberty. That is the thing that is hard to get through even the PhD's heads that are the brain trusts that are advising a government, and it's the thing that's got us in the mess that we're in today. We're so far from God. This is a tremendous section. Now, this man Jeremiah, who's been giving these prophecies, had also sent a prophecy down to Nebuchadnezzar, and as we saw back in the book of Jeremiah, he had made a trip down there himself. Now, we read in verse 11 of chapter 39, "Now Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah to Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, saying, take him and look well to him and do him no harm, but do unto him even as he shall say unto thee." Now, Nebuchadnezzar was particularly good to this man Jeremiah. It's quite interesting. He got worse treatment at the hands of his own people than he did at the hands of his enemy. And today, I have found out that I'm hurt more by those who profess to be Christian than by the unsaved world. I find this is a great principle, and I think probably many of you will agree with that. Now, Nebuchadnezzar has permitted Jeremiah to do what he wants to. He tells him here, you can come with the captives to Babylon if you want to. And Jeremiah, it's interesting enough, did not want to do that. I think he would have been given special privilege, but he did not want to see his brethren suffer as they did there by the canals of Babylon, by the rivers of Babylon, where they sat down, where they hung up their harps, and they wept when they remembered Zion. And Jeremiah did not want to go with them. They've rejected his message, and they've rejected him, and God now has raised up another prophet that will speak to them down there. It'll be Ezekiel that we'll see later on. But now he chooses to remain in the land with the poor that remain there. Who really loved that land? It was Jeremiah. Who really was patriotic? It was Jeremiah. Who really had the best interests of the people at heart? Was Jeremiah. Now, that is all quite obvious now. Now, he's in the land, and we have here, beginning with chapter 40 through 42, Jeremiah speaking to those, the remnant that's left in the land after the destruction of Jerusalem, the very poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame, and that crowd were left. In fact, almost another group that would be called a criminal element would be left, and they were a pretty hard group. Now, Jeremiah chose to stay with that group. Now, he has a message for them. Now, beginning of chapter 40 through 42, we have his message to the remnant that remains in the land. Now, we have in chapter 40, I begin reading at verse 1, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. After that, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had let him go from Ramah, when he had taken him, being bound in chains among all that were carried away captive of Jerusalem and Judah, which were carried away captive unto Babylon. And the captain of the guard took Jeremiah and said unto him, the Lord thy God hath pronounced this evil upon this place. Now the Lord hath brought it and done according as he hath said, because ye have sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed his voice. Therefore this thing has come upon you. And now, behold, I loose thee this day from the chains which were upon thine hand. If it seem good unto thee to come with me into Babylon, come, and I will look well unto thee. But if it seem ill unto thee to come with me unto Babylon, forbear. Behold, all the land is before thee, whether it seemeth good and convenient for thee to go, thither go. Now this man Nebuchadnezzar gives them full liberty. Now you can see what would have happened to these people. There was no return for them. They had to go into captivity. If they had obeyed God and gone willingly, they would have got treatment like this and probably would have been permitted to stay in the land, which I'm confident that they would have been permitted to stay in the land. Now we find that this man, Jeremiah, gives prophecies here to the people that remain in the land. In fact, one of the leaders that was raised up by Nebuchadnezzar, he was the son of Ishmael, and that's quite interesting. This one was named Ishmael. In chapter 41, verse 3, Ishmael also slew all the Jews that were with him, even with Gedaliah at Mizpah, and the Chaldeans that were found there, and the men of war. This man attempted, you see, to take over, and he's an Ishmaelite, which, by the way, is quite interesting. He's treacherous, a leader, by the way. In chapter 42, Jeremiah has a word now for them under these strange circumstances. What will the remnant do? Are they going to stay there, or shall they leave the land? And where would they go? Actually, the thing that is happening, the captain, and I think I should begin reading probably verse 1, chapter 42, then all the captains of the forces, and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and Jezaniah, the son of Hoshaiah, and all the people from the least even unto the greatest came near and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let, we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant, for we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk and the thing that we may do. Now, this all sounds very nice, does it not? You'd think these people are actually going to walk with God. And they promise here to obey the voice of the Lord. Let's listen to them now what the voice of the Lord is. Verse 4, then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I've heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words. And it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. And believe me, they could depend on Jeremiah speaking the truth, saying the thing that he should say. A preacher today, in my judgment, who's attempting to speak for God, whether he's in the pulpit or on radio or wherever he might be, it might be on a soapbox on some corner. If he's going to represent God and speak God's word, he should lay aside all of this matter of being clever, of being subtle, being sophisticated, and saying smooth words that please people, and of attempting to say the thing that people want to hear and have a little of the power of positive thinking and of positive speaking in. Don't be negative, that type of thing. When the pulpit becomes like that, it becomes weak. It becomes a sounding board to just say back to the people what they want to hear. It's a question of what Paul said to this man Timothy in his swan song, that they will keep to themselves teachers with itching ears. The teachers will have itching ears, and the people will. And it's a question of the old Egyptian game. You scratch my back, I scratch your back, and we both will have a good laugh. The thing is that that is the way the modern pulpit is today. And it's the reason it's become extremely weak and has no message for this hour in which we live. Now, when the pulpit can give the impression And let it be known, they're not holding anything back. They're telling what God has to say. Then, my friend, I think that the Word of God will become effective again. It can't become effective today when it is given out in the manner in which it is given out. Now, will you listen to this man, Jeremiah? Verse 5, now, chapter 42. Then they said to Jeremiah, "The Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all things for the which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us, whether it be good or whether it be evil. We will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send thee, and it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God." Now, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and so he delivered the message to them. He said to the leader, he called him in first, verse 10, he says, "If ye will still abide in this land, then will I build you and not pull you down. I will plant you and not pluck you up, for I repent me of the evil that I've done unto you." God says, I'll not continue to judge you, but I want to bless you. After all, judgment is a strange work. God wants to bless. Now he says, "Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom ye are afraid. Be ye not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you, to deliver you from his hand." That was a good word. And you'd think by now that Jeremiah's word having been proven true, that they would believe God. But do they believe God? Now will you notice? And here is the warning he gives, verse 18. "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as mine anger and my fury hath been poured forth upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so shall my fury be poured forth upon you when ye shall enter into Egypt, and ye shall be an execration and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach, and ye shall see this place no more. The Lord hath said concerning you, O ye remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day. For ye dissembled in your hearts when ye sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, Pray for us unto the Lord our God, and according to all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us, and we'll do it." And actually, the people have learned nothing. They have learned nothing from experience. And now they disobey God. They'll not hear. The remnant will not hear Jeremiah nor obey him. So what do they do? Well, God says, don't go down into Egypt. You know where they're going? They're going to Egypt. So now, beginning here with chapter 43 and through actually the rest of this book, we have prophecies during Jeremiah's last days in Egypt where he was taken. See, they forced him to go. Now, we see the remnant going into Egypt here in chapters 43 and 44. Will you notice it? In verse 1 of chapter 43, it came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people, all the words of the Lord, their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words, then spake Azariah the son of Hoshea and Johanan the son of Kareah, and all the proud men saying unto Jeremiah, "Thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, Go not into Egypt to sojourn there." Now, their whole point here is, God hasn't sent you to say that. In other words, he's not saying what they want him to say. They had hoped he'd say, "Go into Egypt." That's what God wants you to do. But God says, don't go into Egypt. Now, in verse 5, "But Johanan the son of Kareah and all the captains of the forces took all the remnant of Judah that were returned from all nations, whither they had been driven to dwell in the land of Judah." Now, he takes everybody, and we are told here that he took also Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah the prophet, and Baruch the son of Neriah. So they came into the land of Egypt, for they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. Thus came they even to Tophanes. And this place, by the way, is right near where they had been at the very beginning when they became a nation in the land of Goshen. Now, Jeremiah's still speaking to them. They force him to go to Egypt. And now the Lord tells him, take great stones in thine hands and hide them in the clay in a brick kiln. Verse 9. They're back down in the brickyards of Egypt. They're not getting anywhere fast, as you can see, which is at the entry of Pharaoh's house in Tophanes in the sight of the men of Judah. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will send and take Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and I will set his throne upon these stones that I have hid, and he shall spread his royal pavilion over them. And when he cometh, he shall smite the land of Egypt, and deliver such as were of death to death, and such as were for captivity to captivity, and such as are for the sword to the sword. Now, the interesting thing here is, they ran off to the land of Egypt to escape Nebuchadnezzar. But God is going to permit Nebuchadnezzar to take the land of Egypt, which he did. And these people are right back under Nebuchadnezzar, only this time he doesn't leave them in the land. He puts them into slavery. And so this is the message that he gives to Israel in Egypt. Now, chapter 44, and I'm just going to hit high places here, verse 16. As for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. So what you have here is a total rejection of Jeremiah. The remnant refused to believe Jeremiah. They won't accept him at all. And we have here, Jeremiah warns them that Nebuchadnezzar is going to take this land now and will take these people. And yet they still refuse. Now the remnant in Egypt refused to hear the word of the Lord. And so there's nothing left for them but judgment. And we'll see next time as we come to chapter 45 that we have now a series of prophecies against the nations round about that were literally fulfilled. We'll see fulfilled prophecy when we get there. Now, we want to conclude today by sharing with you a letter that has come from a pastor of a church, the Emmanuel Baptist Church in Marion, Indiana. I do not mind, by the way, giving the name of a church because we like to recommend good Bible churches, and the pastor of this church would have to be a very good Bible teacher, and this man is. But I've appreciated this letter, and it's typical of, honestly now, several hundred letters we've received from pastors across the country. Will you listen to this? It has been my privilege to hear you many times at Winona Lake. I don't know if you realize what a help and a challenge you are to ministers all over the country. For years, I have been collecting your tape-recorded sermons for my own profit and to share with the church in our tape library there and with missionaries. I have 572 of your sermons on tape. Now, many pastors today are using our notes and outlines, and we feel that today there is a definite movement of many preachers that probably some of them haven't been Bible teaching ministers before, but they're now beginning to teach the Word of God. And friends, those that have done that, their churches have grown by leaps and bounds. I could give you right now the names of 25 churches that I know of that have seen their attendance more than double in the past few years because from the pulpit, Bible teaching has been given. We believe God will honor that in these days because God wants the world now to hear what He has to say. Not just one little word, but what the total Word of God has to say. We'll leave off there today, and until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
God always keeps His Word. Did I hear you say amen? If you've missed a message in Dr. McGee's incredible study of Jeremiah, or if you'd like to listen again, call us today at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Each message is available for purchase on a single CD, or you can order the entire set to share with your neighbors and friends or even your Bible study group at church. Again, the number to call is 1-800-65-BIBLE. Or to order online or listen for free via a link from our website, visit us at ttb.org. That's also where you can download a free copy of Dr. McGee's notes and outlines for our upcoming study on Lamentations. Again, visit us at ttb.org for an entire bookstore of materials to help you deepen your study of God's Word. And while you're visiting us, be sure to check out an amazing new resource to help you share God's Word with your family and friends for free. Simply click on the Bible in Your Language button where you'll find both audio and text versions of the Bible in hundreds of languages. Again, the address is ttb.org and click on the Bible Bus in Your Language. The Bible Bus rolls along tomorrow with one of our final two lessons in the book of Jeremiah. Be sure and join us. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here saving a seat just for you.
Unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
This program's been brought to you by the faithful friends and supporters of the worldwide ministry of Through the Bible Radio Network.